glad that you're joining us on this Facebook Live broadcast. Wow, what a week it's been. Not only has there been myriads of personal challenges throughout these past couple weeks for me, but I also have felt much like a hamster running on a wheel preparing this message. The harder I run on the wheel, the more I have felt I've been standing in the same place, feeling like I've made a little progress. So let me explain to you what I mean by that. Throughout the week, I've thought and prayed about what does a pastor offer to his church in such unprecedented times? The world is under siege by what is called a pandemic, a medical crisis resulting from a virus gone wild, making its way out of Wuhan, China, and spreading throughout the world. The result of the virus, sickening hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. Thousands of homes have been shattered by the death of a loved one. The world economy has shut down, and toilet paper is in high demand. Unbelievably, this virus has attacked country after country, making its ways to the shores of the United States of America. As a result of the rapid spread of the virus and its devastating effects, life as we understand it, life as we were just living it a few months ago, has drastically changed for all of us. Some say the reaction of the politicians and doctors is overblown and exaggerated, and that it's just an opportunity for the government to reach further into our private lives as citizens, to control everything and everyone. While yet there are other people criticizing world leaders and our presidents, saying they've done too little, too late. They've not reacted fast enough. They've not reacted strong enough to put a stop to the virus. Well, regardless of your position on the matter, the reality is we don't have enough knowledge yet as to what would constitute too great of a reaction or too little of a reaction to this virus. But I will say this, there is nothing that I've experienced in my life quite like this. As the world does battle with the virus and the challenging things that have come in this global battle, we find that we have worldwide threat, national threat, and local threat. Today, like never before, we can feel a sense of being held hostage to such ideas as the concept of social distancing and quarantining, both of which are probably good responses to the virus, to the spread of the virus now. I am fairly certain that none of us could have anticipated such a rapid change that threatens worldwide health, as well as worldwide devastation of national economies throughout the world. So as I thought about the pandemic, the worldwide health threats, personal suffering, economic devastation, and total lifestyle changes, whether it be just for a couple weeks or for a few months, I asked myself, what do I share with you as your under-shepherd, serving the great shepherd? I thought maybe I should preach on something like, as a believer, how do you manage your fear? And how do you hang on to your faith in a time like this? Then I thought, well, maybe I should preach an apologetic message on the love of God, as I hear in my mind many non-believers or maybe even nominal believers shaking a fist in the air and saying, if God is so loving, why would he allow such a thing as a pandemic to happen in the world? In other words, why would God, the God that I've ignored and rejected and slandered all my life, why isn't he taking better care of me? Then I thought, well, maybe I could preach a sermon on what you sow, you reap, with the idea that the world and country has been practicing social distancing from God on a regular basis for quite a while now, 6 to 7 decades maybe. And that God finally came to the point and said, okay, you want to be on your own? Have it your way, just like God did with the nation of Israel when they wanted a king, so that they could be like other nations. Just a side note for clarification, though. Don't go away say I'm calling this the judgment of God on the world. I'm not. What I'm suggesting is that for decades, that we as a people, a nation, and perhaps as of the world, has been putting God in the rearview mirror. And some people now want to blame God for the pandemic. Maybe what we're experiencing is rather maybe a natural consequence of doing things our own way, while turning a blind eye to God. And what we are finding in this pandemic is that we really do need God. We do need His hand of blessing. We do need God to restore health and prosperity to the nation and to the world, bringing His healing hand into our land. Maybe this pandemic will help people to reassess their thoughts about God, their need for Him, and a return to Him. And I think, wow, those are heavy thoughts, aren't they? Then I thought, maybe I should just preach a message on something else, anything else than talking about pandemic and disease and our response to the crisis. I mean, day in and day out, moment by moment, all we have heard about for the last 2 to 3 weeks is crisis, pandemic, sickness, death, criticism of this and criticism of that. And our minds and spirits just simply need a break from all the stress and from all the crisis. I mean, some of it makes me just want to scream. Well, the reality is, it may be that the things that we have read about great plagues of the past will one day be said of this generation and history, future history classes, and say 2050 and beyond, that this will be a virus that is talked about and how it has changed the way life works in the world. As for me, all of this stuff seems a bit surreal. And yet there seems to be a real dilemma of dire straits for the world, for our country, and even as our community as we deal with this. I mean, think about this. There are actions being taken by every country in the world, including our country, our state, and our community, to deter the spread of this virus. Nothing like this kind of response has ever happened before in the world. And it comes across as somewhat scary stuff. So see what I mean about being a hamster running on the wheel as I thought about what sermon to preach this week? The faster I ran in sermon preparation, the quicker I got nowhere fast. I would start with one train of thought and then be moved to another train of thought. And soon I found the message of many random thoughts being incorporated into one message. And I wanted to be more helpful than that to you. Therefore, I decided to do a wise thing, and that was to call upon the Lord. And I asked Him to lead me in the course of study to see where He might take me in this time of crisis. So I began looking at the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, not quite sure how I got there, but I did, and how God had diverted Paul and Silas from going into Asia, instead directing them into Macedonia, into Greece, to preach the gospel. Perhaps the big idea in that passage as I read it this week that came to me in my study was the word change. Change of direction, change in ministry, and how Paul and Silas, in spite of change of direction and the suffering and challenges that came with that change of direction, that they remained steadfast in their faith. And they remained loyal in their testimony, in giving God the glory, no matter what difficulty it is that they had faced. In Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, it says this. Paul, speaking about the ministry team of Paul and Silas, and it says, they passed through the Phrygian area and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Yes, a time of change. From Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, we gain important information about the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Silas as they entered into the city of Philippi and then Thessalonica and then to Berea and then on to Athens and so on to minister the gospel in Macedonia. However, we also learn something else about this missionary journey. We learn about the sovereignty of God. Sometimes God changes the direction we are going to move us into the direction that he wants us to go. Sometimes the ministry we are serving, sometimes the ministry where we are serving Christ brings with it hardships and difficulties. But in spite of the circumstances, God remains the same. He remains Elohim in all that we face. Let me ask you, has it ever happened to you that you started out on a path, faithfully pursuing and seeking a ministry for God, and then God stops you in your tracks and he says, hey, though you may not understand it, it is my plan and it is my will for you to go in a different direction. In Acts 16, that is exactly what had happened with Paul and Silas. I know that God has worked in my life at times in this way. A change of direction. I was headed one way thinking I was doing good, and then God steps in and says, hey, I'm now ready to take you in a new direction. Now, some of you may be here, and when I say here, that you have become part of True Life Church because of the change of direction God has placed in you, your life. Maybe you have never intended to be here in Whitefish, or maybe you never intended to be a part of True Life Church. But here you are, through a unique set of circumstances. God directed your steps here to True Life Church, and here you are, and here we are, brought together by the sovereignty of God's hand, because God has a plan. God has a plan for us and how he wants us to work together for his kingdom. So now today, we face another challenge. A temporary change of maybe a couple weeks, maybe a longer term change of a few months. We don't know yet. But I do know this. A month ago, I was working on a whole different set of ministry issues, far different than what I was working on over this past week, far different than what we are contending with now. Indeed, these are exciting times to live. Sure, they're unsteady times. They are challenging times. And they are difficult times, all because of a virus. However, we must remain fixed on the truth that though life has changed for us right now, God and his love for us has not changed. Elohim is still the strongest of strong ones. And Elohim will not allow anything into your life that he has not prepared to give you the grace, mercy, and strength to face and endure and deal with in your life. As I reflected back on this last month and this virus ordeal, I am reminded of how frail our human frames are, how small mankind is, and how our lives are truly just a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. Now, you may be thinking, wow, Pastor, that's an encouragement thought to my already fatalistic thoughts that have hounded me over these past few days. You may be thinking, you know, Pastor, I'm looking for hope and encouragement. And this message feels a little bit like gloom and doom. I get it. I understand what you're saying. I'm there with you. We are in a time of unknown. Life as we know it has changed for the time being, and the immediate future seems somewhat uncertain and scary. We all want to feel the sense of security that we had just a month ago, the stability and safety. We want that feeling back. We want to turn off the panic button. We want things to go quickly back to that sense of self-reliance and that we are in control of our destiny, especially as things seem so much out of control today. But hey, wait a minute. Let's just hit the pause button here for a second. Even though many in our government have comforted us with such words as, we have the greatest minds, the best of the best, the smartest people in the world working to solve this pandemic for us, I had to pause and ask myself, in whom do I trust? Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the dedication and human effort being made on behalf of our benefit as a nation and as a world by everyone in high places. I don't minimize their help, their devotion, their dedication to bringing good to our nation and this world. May God grant them amazing insight and skills that will bring relief to this situation, and I say amen to that. However, our lead chaplain from the Whitefish Police Department wrote something of interest to the Shield of Badge prayer partners for the Whitefish Police Department. He said, quote, "Well, I have never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I am confident that God neither has resigned nor retired, nor is he wringing his hands in heaven, wondering what to do next. He has seen it all. He has plans for his kingdom and his will." Yes, change. Change is hard. Looking back again at Paul and Silas, think about the change that they endured, planning to go to Asia instead, God taking them into Macedonia. You remember what happened to them in that first stop along the way in the city of Philippi, beaten, imprisoned. Difficult days for sure, hardship that they faced, however resulting in the salvation of the Philippian jailer. And then they took off from Philippi and headed into Thessalonica. And there they ran into some more trouble from the Jews. And there Jason and his family or his other brethren were arrested and persecution arose again. And then they made their way to Berea, 25, 30 miles away from Thessalonica. And then those who had created such problem for Paul and Silas in Thessalonica, they made their way to Berea. Now think about this. It wasn't just jumping in your car and going 20 to 30 miles to head over to Berea to cause a disturbance. They had to walk that distance. They had to put some time and effort and energy into this persecution and time. And there they caused another conflict for Paul and Silas. And my point being this, that sometimes in change, we face hardship. Sometimes in change, we face difficulty. It may not be always comfortable to change. It may be at times where we have to persevere and we have to exercise our faith in a difficult moment. Change can be hard. I do feel that as I look at what we're dealing with in our state, I do not feel good about what we are facing right now. However, in spite of what I'm feeling, I do know that I need to embrace the challenge of the way things are right now. Because I believe God. I believe in Him. I trust in Him. He is the same God that I trusted 6 weeks ago when things were in peace and calm. That God is the same God that still reigns today. And I believe that if I could trust Him back then, I can continue to trust Him today. Circumstances in this world may have changed drastically. Circumstances in my life may have changed drastically, but my God reigns, and He is the same. I trust in Him. As I considered this thought, And as I am committed to using principle and prudent decisions throughout this time of crisis, I came to that point of asking, whom and what do I trust? Does my faith in God waver because the days have become more challenging? Because the circumstances have changed and things in this world have become more threatening? Or do I trust the same God I trusted in 6 weeks ago? You see, through circumstances, though they have changed, God hasn't. My faith in God is not conditional on my circumstances. My faith in God is unconditional in spite of the circumstances. No matter what I face, no matter what we face, God still reigns. Now, over the years of good that I have experienced in this life, I have said I trust God. So the question now comes, as I'm experiencing a peak in my anxiety, as I'm experiencing a peak in fear for the future, as I'm being challenged to live through these difficult and turbulent days where my health might be threatened, my family's health might be threatened, my wealth and security might be threatened, where our American dream is in peril, who and what do I trust? God has prepared us for this moment. Elohim, who is the strongest of strong ones, is the one in whom we trust. You remember Elohim. He's not a figment of an imagination. He's not a fairy tale of good folklore that makes us feel good. Elohim, he is the Lord God Almighty. In the change of circumstances and in difficult days, God has not stepped off the throne. However, in the changing circumstances, our faith and our trust is being challenged. In whom do we trust and in whom do you believe? Can you say, God, whatever it is that you decide to do about this virus, whatever it is that you decide to do in regard to my circumstances, it is well with me. I trust you. Let us be concerned and informed by the news reports, but let us be guided by faith. God still reigns. He is not retired, and he is not unaware. Let us trust him. I go back to those encouraging thoughts of Elohim, redundant to something that we talked about a couple weeks ago, that maybe today we might see in a little different light because of the circumstances we face. Elohim, the strongest of strong ones. And I'm going to repeat some stuff here this morning by the reading of Genesis chapter 1. Because I think we all would be well served to be reminded about the power and strength of Elohim, who holds us in his hands. He is reliable, he is trustworthy, and he is our God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. Then God Elohim said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God Elohim saw that the light was good, and God Elohim separated the light from the darkness. God Elohim called the light day, and the darkness called night, and there was evening, and there was morning. One day. Do you realize the God that did that is the God that you are depending upon today? Do you realize that it is the God who did that that is your hope and stay in this time of testing? Then God Elohim said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God Elohim made the expanses and separated the waters which were below the expanses from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God Elohim called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. The God who did that, Elohim, is the God who still sits on the throne today. Then God Elohim said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God Elohim called the dry land an earth, and the gathering of the waters he called the sea. And God Elohim saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit and tree on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them and their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. Now that's a power, a strength, a God that I would want to trust in a time of crisis. Then God Elohim said, "Let the light be in the expanses of the heaven to separate the day from the night, and let there be for sign and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanses of the heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the great lights to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanses of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God Elohim saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. It seems to me that if God can govern the skies and he can separate the light from the dark, and that he can hang the sun in place and give us a moon to look at in the evening, that he certainly has the power, the strength to manage something like a virus. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanses of the heaven." God Elohim created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the water swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God Elohim saw that it was good. God Elohim blessed, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the sea. Let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and morning, and this was the fifth day. God brought it all into existence. Then God Elohim said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth of their kind." And it was so. God Elohim made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man as his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." As I look back at these things from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and I begin to compare the strength of Elohim, the power of Elohim, the sovereignty of Elohim, and when I consider that by the grace of God, I have come into that personal relationship with God, whereby I am called a child of God. I am a child of Elohim. Therefore, as we look at what we face today, we can be sure that Elohim will grant us the grace, the courage, the strength to face whatever is before us. And he will allow nothing into our lives except that which he will allow us to endure it by his power and in his strength. So my message to you is this: though we need to listen to what the news has to say, and though we need to be prudent in our planning, our faith always rests in the power of Elohim. The Elohim God who did these things, who is on the throne today. So I encourage you, beloved, take a deep breath. Regardless of the gloom that is peddled by the pundits, God is our hope. God is our Lord. God is our Savior. Understand, our circumstances and situations have changed. Understand, we need to make prudent decisions in our life. But most of all, focus on your faith. Focus on your trust in Elohim. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 say, "For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." God's still got a grip on it, beloved. Who and what is greater than our God? I wish I was insightful enough to explain the purpose of God and allowing this virus to take hold in the world, but I'm not that smart. I wish I could tell you why God changed the direction we were traveling for now. I don't know, but I do know this. I am willing to humble myself, and I call you to humble yourself before the Lord. Surrender yourself to his will, and let us continue to trust in God. I'm sure there will be those people who will say, "Silly you." And they would say, if there is a loving God, why would he allow such a thing? I can't account for God's reasons for what he has allowed and why, but I can look within, and in my life, I can look at the circumstances and realize that even in the difficult circumstances, I am still in the hands of God. I trust the Lord, even though the circumstances are knocking hard on my door. Let me close with a couple of passages. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and yes, it has changed, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. Now you may wonder what a pinion is. Well, the pinion is the outer part of a bird's wing, including its flight feathers. And it's so like God putting his wing over you and sheltering you and protecting you. And you are under his wing. You may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. So as we close, may God's peace and blessing be upon you. May it be upon you and yours in these changing circumstances. But may the stability of your faith and trust remain in the one who never changes, our Elohim, the Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that in these changing times, in these turbulent times, in these difficult times, that we are not without help, that we are not without hope, but that we have a great God who is known by the name Elohim. And it is in you that we place our trust. And though things around us and the circumstances may be disturbing, we find our rest and our peace in you. I ask your blessing upon each of us, Lord, that you would keep us from harm and keep us from the virus. Help us to be wise in the decisions we make. And at the end of each day, as we lay our head down on the pillow at night, might we each end with the phrase, "To God be the honor and glory. He is my Lord and he is my God." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.